mean when it starts talking about our tendency to have low self-esteem. I'm going to have to stretch my mind. It won't happen overnight. I'm going to have to stretch my mind to get there. I'm going to have to exert my mind. And there may be some moments when I exert my mind and my mind can't take it anymore, but I wake up the next day and I stretch it again. I wake up the next day and I'd exert it again because I recognize that the only way that I can build the muscle necessary for my mind to be set on things above of it is if I start stretching my mind. We have a podcast on called Woman Evolve, and there's a segment of the podcast called Rescue Eve, and we call it Rescue Eve because the goal is to get people to stretch their mind and to see things that maybe we're vilifying in the news in a different direction, in a different perspective, because there's something about exerting your mind. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. When you exert your mind, you stretch your mind to do what Jesus would do and to think how Jesus would think and to show up the way that Jesus would show up. And it is an exercise. It doesn't come naturally to you. So don't penalize yourself for not being where you are supposed to be, but be willing to stretch yourself until you become it. But it didn't stop there, because after it talked about us exercising our mind, and then says to check out another Greek word that would better translate that word that they translated into exercise, and that was rein in. So setting your mind is exercising your mind and then reining your mind in. I love that because it's like I said a little bit earlier, you're going to have moments when you start having all different types of thoughts coming your way. All different types of ways of thinking, especially on social media. Social media, I think, is one of the greatest distractions and greatest highways of thoughts that anyone can ever be exposed to, because one minute we're grieving what happened with George Floyd, the next minute we're looking at somebody's cute baby, the next minute we're hungry. It's a highway of thoughts, and every now and then you have to rein your mind in. I feel like someone needs to know that there are moments when you allow too many thoughts to exist in your world, and that it is your responsibility to rein your mind in. It is your responsibility to be aware and intentional enough to know when you need to unplug, when you need to get in the presence of God. Rein your mind into things above. Sometimes you got to shut it all down and turn on worship music. Shut it all down and turn on a message, because my mind is swirling with all of these different scenarios and all of these different issues and what if and how come and what if I am this and what if I'm that. And I hear God saying, rein your mind in. Rein it in. And be okay with being able to say that I need to rein my mind in. As I was studying for this message, one of the things that I learned that I literally didn't know is that science is beginning to show that our human brains are wired towards a negative bias. That means that we lean a little negative. It says that this is probably a part of the early human history, that we had to pay attention to bad, dangerous, and negative threats in order to survive. And those who were more attuned with those dangers paid more attention to bad things around them. They were more likely to survive. And so now that mindset has been passed down from generation to generation. And that's why it's important that this text is to set your mind on things above. Because if you allow your mind to be set by the culture or the family or the community that you live in, then you may be setting your mind towards something that keeps you from becoming who God has called you to be. Or setting your mind on things that keep you from really showing up in your purpose and showing up in the kingdom the way that you are supposed to be. There is no shame in knowing that I need to rein in my mind. And I want to say this because I feel like as a church, not just this church, but as the body of Christ, that we've had some moments and some theologies that made us believe that there was something wrong with therapy. But if you are going to rein in your mind, then I want to challenge you that you may need help reining in your mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. It may take some medication for you to rein in your mind, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you have to come to a place where you are willing to say, I will do whatever it takes for my mind to be set on things above. And if my brain has a chemical imbalance that keeps me from setting my mind on things above, then I need to get that fixed so that I can become who God has called me to be. They say that God doesn't need medicine, but God created doctors and created medicine. And sometimes we do need medication in order for us to become. Know when it's time for you to rein your mind in, and don't be afraid to ask for help. And then the last thing So that word set, once again in the Greek, it broke down to exercise. And then it told me to reference another word that was rein in. And there was another word that it told me to reference. And this is when it stopped. And it literally says stop, to fence in or stop. That is the final word, to stop your mind on things above. Man, that was so powerful to me when I read it, because it made me realize that your mind has to have a stopping point. My mind was racing when I first got this message, and I felt like God was saying, you know, this is what I want you to preach about. I want you to preach about what it requires for us to really make our minds up. We get up in the morning and we make up our bed. Some of us do. We make up our bed in the morning, and it takes a little work, and that's why some of us don't do it, because we're getting back in it. Why would we make it up? Because of the work required to make up your bed, sometimes we don't do it. Imagine the work that goes into making up your mind. It does take work, but there is the stopping point. And this text shows us that when we stop our mind on things above, that the presence of God is what allows our mind to become his mind. Why is it that he would tell us, Paul, to set our mind on things above, unless at the end of the day God was trying to give us his mind? Man, what an honor and privilege it is to have access to the mind of God. God says, when you set your mind on things above, when you make up your mind that my mind is going to be set on what's above, that I don't just leave you there, that I get to give you an exchange. So I got to get my mind to God. I got to get my heart to God. I got to get myself to God. I've allowed my mind to be with depression. I've allowed my mind to be with my insecurities. I've allowed my mind to be with my fears for long enough. Now I have to set my mind on things above. I have to be who God has called me to be, because there is a gift waiting for me there. All throughout the Bible, it talks about how God wants to give us a divine exchange, how he has mysteries stored up for those who search him out, who seek him, who look for him. So I got to set my mind on things above so I can receive his mind. My mind stops in the presence. Because when my mind stops in the presence, his mind is what I receive in it instead. Have you ever been worshiping? And in that moment you were worshiping, in that moment you were listening to this message, and you started thinking to yourself, man, it's so funny, when I came into this, I was so heavy, but now I'm coming out of it and I feel like I have enough strength, I have enough vision, I have enough faith that I'm going to be okay, that the creativity is going to come. That's not just because we had this trance, it's because you came into the presence of God. And when you came into the presence of God, he gave you his mind instead. I remember in Isaiah, I actually gave them this text. And the prophet Isaiah is talking about when the king Uzziah died. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two, he covered his face. And the two, he covered his feet so he wasn't looking. The seraphim, they weren't looking and they weren't moving. But the other two, they were using to fly. So in this instance, they got angels in the presence of the Lord, and the angels aren't looking, and the angels' feet, they aren't moving. The only thing they're doing is doing enough to stay up in the presence of God. That's what happens when we're in the presence. He elevates us enough that our eyes don't matter, our path doesn't matter, but in this moment, all that matters is that we stay up. And then it says that these two seraphims were just crying to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy. holy, holy, holy. These seraphims, for a moment, they were wrapped up in what, when they saw the earth, they didn't see the racism. When they saw the earth, they didn't see the pain. When they saw the earth, they didn't see a pandemic. When they saw the earth, they didn't see division. All they saw was that the earth was full of God's glory. It doesn't mean that that glory had been manifested. It just meant that the earth was so full of potential for God's glory. So much potential that when they saw it, all they could do is stay in the presence of God and say, holy, 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 holy. And I hear God saying that I'm looking for some people who don't mind looking at my presence and seeing the earth the way that I see it, and being the ones who are willing to establish the glory that this earth is meant to carry. This earth is meant to carry glory. The same things those seraphims were saying in that moment, they're saying right now. I bet you if we could look into the windows of heaven, that we would see angels looking down on the earth saying, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of God's glory. The earth is full of God's glory, and you are God's glory. You are God's plan. You are God's strategy. You are God's idea, and you got to make up your mind that I am God's strategy in the earth, and so I have to show up with my mind stayed on Jesus so that I can run this race, so I can bridge this gap, so that I can eradicate hate. This is my job. This is my role. And I do it not because I believe in what I see on this earth, but I believe it because my mind is set on things above. And so when I look at this earth, I look at it the same way the seraphims did. And I say, God, there's so much room for your glory here. Father, there's so much room for transformation. There's so much room for change. You're watching this message. I want you to type, I'm God's strategy. I'm God's strategy. I'm God's strategy. I'm God's strategy. I want you to start prophesying that over where you are right now. God, unleash your strategy over where I am right now. Father, I'm ready to set my mind on things above. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that in this time that we had together, that God had begun to really reveal to you that there's room for you to exercise your mind on things above. Maybe you've already found that place, but now it's time for you to rein your mind in. And I want to pray specifically that God would give you strategy on what reining your mind in looks like for you. Maybe that means having boundaries with people. Maybe that means getting help. Maybe that means finally going to see that therapist and not just thinking it's a good idea. But what I want to pray most of all is that the racing your mind, I feel this for somebody, your mind has been racing nonstop. It seems like it never ends. That nonstop mind racing doesn't exist in the presence of God. And so our goal, our job, our responsibility is to make room so that we can be where God is. If that's you, I just want you to type, that's me. That's me. That's me. I want you to own where you are. Because when you own where you are, you have the ability to change where you're headed. Sometimes we don't want to own where we are. I don't want to own the fact that I'm struggling. I don't want to own the fact that my pride has got me out here, that my ego's got me out here, that my pain has made me start doing some things that are unlike me. But I need you to own where you are. You don't have to tell us where you are, but I want you to own that I got a little off track. Because now we can, now that we have identified the crack in your foundation, we can ask God to tear down anything that you've built on that crack so that he can repair it and build it again. I want to pray with you. Father God, man, in your presence there is joy. In your presence there is healing. In your presence there is love. In your presence there is overflow. Spirit of the living God, what we want now more than ever is to set our mind on things above. We live in an earth that pulls us down. It makes us negative sometimes. It makes us hurt sometimes. It makes us wonder and depressed and anxious sometimes. But Father, when we set our minds on things above, you will give us strategy on how to navigate this earth. And so Father, we give you our mind. And we ask for you to make it up. We ask for you to fix it, to transform it, to change it, Father. And we ask that you would bring us into alignment with people who are on the same path, with people who possess that same passion to have a foundational thought that is built or that is based in who you are and what you're doing in the earth. Father, I pray for everyone viewing right now. I want to speak to that anxiety. I want to speak to that depression. I want to speak to that fear. And I want to speak Jesus.